The creative team gets grosser by the day. Anyway, well, you know, we all can be misunderstood. We all can really sometimes not understand ourselves. Sometimes people have to point out that which is painfully obvious. Came across some signs that I thought were pretty interesting, that road unsafe when underwater. Isn't that great? If you don't know that, you have some trouble. Dips. Do not enter when flooded. I hope Dips is not the person. And then you do not pass when opposing traffic present. That's good. And then this is my favorite.
My wife is great. She points out the things that are sometimes just painfully obvious,
should be painfully obvious to me, and I don't get. We'll be out to dinner, and she'll, you know, do this because there's some lettuce in between my teeth, and I'm thankful for that. By the way, this Wednesday, really excited. We've been married 20 years. We're going to celebrate our 20th anniversary, yes, you can give her a hand, and she said, how appropriate, you're speaking on bitterness today. No, just kidding. we're hoping for another 20, 30, 40 years together. I want to become a financial burden to my children. Who knows, taking hits off each other's oxygen tanks over the years. And as we do that, as we've worked through things, there have been failures on both our parts. Big ones and little ones, and it's working through those that really can draw you together, really can be turning points in any relationship. Some of the people who have posted on our Facebook, happy anniversary, if you knew their story, you would give them very little hope. Because it really, when it comes to something that is done to us, it can turn us one way or another. I mean, I think about that as what happened in Boston. Obviously, not on the level of 9/11. After 9/11, though, I thought that was a really good moment for our nation, something that was brought out of evil. And we don't know all the details of the why this particular thing happened in Boston. But you know, we think about that, and it would be easy to react with bitterness. As I said, we have a justice system. Hey, I believe in that. God set that up, and the Bible even talks about that, full force of justice. But as we respond as individuals, especially as Christ followers, see, I think we have a contrast. You know, the truth is, if you look at different religions and worldviews, they're not all the same. Christianity at its roots is very interesting. How it began, and spread so quickly as really a transformation movement, but a compassion movement. In the Roman Empire, little babies, especially baby girls, were thrown out on the street to die because they didn't really want them, and so Christians would take care of them. The first schools and hospitals and orphanages and people with disabilities that people would discard, and Christians came and said, no, every person, because of who God made them, has value. And so in 325, when Constantine declared Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire, almost any non-Christian historian would say it was a fait accompli. They didn't make Christianity official, that Christianity had spread because people said, this is so different than the way people usually express power. This is so different than maybe other religions that we've seen around the world. Is that there's something that's attractional about that. And I think at our core, it's so important not to sway from that, because that's a defining factor. And that is really, if you study other philosophies, even some other religions, you'll see that they spread in a very, very different way. See, God does not give us the option to respond with hatred and bitterness. Jesus shows us a different way to live. Now, see, when we talk about bitterness, which we're going to talk about today and all of that, a lot of Christian teaching, I think, is pretty weak on forgiveness. And and I'm, you know, maybe over the years I've given some of those messages as well. That it's just like, oh, just it just means that I become sort of a human doormat, a pansy for Jesus. And I don't think that's what the Bible teaches at all. In fact, I've never seen the word pansy in the Bible yet. In Romans, it says, this isn't in your outline. We'll get to the outline. I know some of you get very nervous if we haven't filled in a blank yet. But I assure you, the sermon will be the same length, just about an hour and a half. It says, do not repay evil for evil. See, there are some, I've talked to people who buy into religious systems where they say, oh, there is no evil. Everyone's basically good. Well, then you don't know what to do with terrorist attacks. Because it's going to fail you again and again. See, God says there is evil. There is evil. There's evil that's done in war. But there's also evil that's done really to us personally. And I know in a crowd over the campuses and all the services and online this weekend, I'm talking to people who are sexually abused, and God would say that was evil. People who are physically abused, and that was evil. That you were taken advantage of financially, that you were abandoned, and God would say that is evil, and you need to call evil, evil. But he says in the midst of that, and this is really important to hear, do not repay evil with evil. He said, but you have been called to live a different way. And now some of you know that, and you know, you've heard, well, just pray for them. And you're like, yeah, I'll pray for them, all right. Pray they get an IRS audit, they get hemorrhoids. Someone gives them a kitten for their birthday, you know. That's the kind of prayer that I'll do for them. Because, okay, you might say, that thing that you said, it haunts me in my thoughts. I think about that week after week, month after month. It changed the way I view myself in a negative way and how I operate in relationships and even my career and how I view my future. So it's hard to let go. And the Bible brings to bear reality. That's why I would say, if you say, I'm checking out other religions and worldviews, very good. How do they deal with reality? And I think you'll find a stark contrast in just using, you know, that your mind was given to you by God. If you use your mind, if you're in a spiritual search and you use, I believe every time it'll lead you to Jesus Christ. Every single time. Because because it's true, it's historical, it's logical, and there's a sense, that ring of truth in it. And when it comes to difficulty, see, that's where, what do we do about that? And God says, do not repay evil for evil. There's a different way to live. If we'll look at our first verse, and I know some of you are getting more comfortable because we got to the first verse. It says in Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See, bitterness is a cancer to your soul. Mark Twain, who, by the way, was no Christian, he said, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping that your enemies will die. It just doesn't work. By the way, we'll talk about this in a moment. If you're bitter, you probably don't know that as well. Have you? I've talked to people. I say, do you think you're struggling with bitterness? And they're like, no, I'm not bitter. Why do you think I'm bitter? You know, and so just know, true, that if you struggle with it, you probably cannot see it in yourself. And so you're going to need to go through a process of identifying that. And there's a little bitterness, and then there's the big bitterness that affects our soul. And I don't carry around a lot of bitterness, although I did get a little bitter this week when I saw the Seahawks schedule, and there's 5:10 a.m. Sunday games. Isn't that horrible? That's from Satan. So evidently we'll have Pastor Dave Nelson over as a guest a lot this this winter, and I'll be at the game, baby. No, we've got Saturday night for that. What are you doing with your bitterness? Do you even know it exists? So let me give you a bit of an inventory, and these questions will be different than maybe you've heard before, but I think will be helpful. How do I know if I'm bitter? Number one, do you rehearse conversations in your head? And these are conversations that you want to have or you have had with someone. You know what I'm talking about? Where you go back into time and you're like, oh, I wish I would have said. And it's almost as if you did say that. And then why? Well, that if that's playing in your head, you have a problem. Are you an expert in another person's life? Now, this is especially true for siblings, for people who you were divorced from. You know what I'm talking about? They should live differently. If they were smart, they'd live like I tell them to live, but they're dumb and no one likes them. That's what you think about them. Number three, are you constantly critical of someone? You know what I mean? Is that no matter what they do, they can't do it right? You hear that person you don't like, oh, they helped that poor elderly lady across the street. And you're like, oh, they were just trying to impress people. I mean, worst case scenario, you see them, they show up at church. They're like, well, they're not, they don't really want to get to know God. They're just here because of the donuts or something like that. And by the way, do you know that God can use mixed motives? I came to explore Christianity. My sister had become a Christian because I was on a spiritual journey. You know why I stayed at church? Because of a hot girl. Yeah, and then I met a hotter girl and married her. So that has not much to do with the message, but just telling you, sharing my heart today is what I'm doing. Do you avoid someone? Are there parties you won't go to? Are there places you won't shop? Are there family gatherings you avoid? See, if any of these are true, it's an indicator that you probably are dealing with some bitterness towards an individual. Now, I'm not talking about just for, you know, garden variety forgiveness. Because we all have that we have to work through. But that bitterness. And you're saying, you know, I struggle with that. And maybe you're like me, is you struggle with the sin of partial forgiveness. You know what I'm talking about? Like you forgive someone just enough to get God off your back. But you don't really, it's like I'm not going to go up and hug and smile and bake a reconciliation cake and say, you know, we just love each other. And you're saying, I don't know if I can deal with that. Well, we looked last week at Peter. And he was a closest follower of Jesus. And we looked at his failure and how God met him in his failure and how there was a restoration process and the actions that he took from that. Well, it's interesting that Peter struggled with this issue, or at least it's indicated by a question that he asked Jesus. And in response to the question, Jesus tells him a story. Let's look at that. But before we do, answer this big question. Will I lay down my right to be offended? It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. And by the way, maybe that was like a literal brother. Maybe it was his brother Andrew. Okay, I bet it wasn't just purely theoretical. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So what's he doing here? Is Jesus laying out a mathematical equation? Well, in the Jewish law and Hebrew culture, someone was required to forgive a person three times. But after that, you know, game on. That's really what would happen. And so Peter's saying, how about if I do more than twice as much? And Jesus says, you're really missing the point. See, it's an unlimited time that you do it. And so he tells a story of a king, and there was a guy who owed a great debt to the king. The king is the image of God, and the servant is the image of us. And so there's a debt, and he tells the story. The guy owed, $12 million in our day. It was a debt he could not pay, and he said, I'll pay you back. But it would be impossible. So what do you do with an impossible debt? Well, that day, in those days, there was no bankruptcy court. They would simply throw you in prison, sell your family off as slaves, and that's how you pay off your debt, until you can pay it back. Pretty hard to pay back a debt in prison as well. And so in that, we are taught a lesson in why this is so significant, why this is a big deal. And the first one, we'll draw out the conclusion and then look at the verse next, is it's a big deal because God has forgiven me. Matthew 18:27, it says, "The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go." So here's the situation, is you have someone who has this great debt and they're forgiven of this great debt. Well, what would you do? Hey, celebrate all of that. You know what this guy does? Is he finds out someone who owes him a little bit of money. He's afraid to ever be in this position again. And he has him thrown into prison. You know, it's people who deal with bitterness often are highly critical. Even when they've done something that, to our estimation, would be much worse. Well, in that, we see that bitterness keeps me a prisoner of my past. We read in Matthew 18:31, "When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and told the master everything that had happened." Now, quite literally here, bitterness has kept him a prisoner of his past, because the king says when he finds out what happened and that how he showed no mercy, he says to the servant, "So that's the way you want to roll?" And then, well, I mean, he probably didn't say that's the way you want to roll, but he said, "That's the way you want to operate? Well, then you will go back to the original agreement. You pay me back." And again and again, our response to God's forgiveness and our ability to follow God, to say yes to Jesus in this, is really linked to have we experienced that in our own life. And another reality is this, is all need future forgiveness. And in fact, the passage we're going to read right after this, it's from Matthew, although there's a version in Luke. Have you ever wondered why there's four Gospels if you're new to the whole Bible thing? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are four accounts from four different perspectives, some from a Jewish perspective, from a non-Jewish perspective. In the Lucan one, it's in chronological order. He's very pays a lot of attention to that. And so he teaches on, or he records the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then we read this. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." So it's an indicator, have I received that? A person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. To overlook is a Hebrew word, to pass over. We think about that, if you think in Jewish culture, that's deliverance from God. Romans 12:3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment, in according to the measure of faith God has distributed to each of you." And the sober judgment is, I'm a person who's in need of God's grace, and so it would be incumbent upon me to extend that to other people. Now, that's fine in theory, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I would vote for that. I'd put that on a ballot. But now when you attach a person's name to it, see, for some of you, this is very fresh. For some of you, maybe there's an old wound and you're over it for the most part. But if you were going to be honest with yourself and with God, you'd say, I have some bitterness in my life. And here's the deal. It's okay. Emotions are fair. They're legal. But it's not okay to stay that there is if you're a follower of Jesus. The Bible says is that you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. The term, and I usually like to use a lot of Greek terms, but the term that is for that we are a doulos, which is like a servant or a slave. No one wants to be a servant. But that, because we no longer determine our destiny. If you've said yes to Jesus, there are some things that are off the table for you. We talked about some issues of Christian living and morality last week. But when it comes to issues of compassion, we respond to Jesus in that way. Well, what does this look like? Because of God's grace to me, I will give others the benefit of the doubt. I will give others the benefit of the doubt. I will not rush to quick judgments. Now, it was interesting this last week. We all probably had our theory in the first couple days after the bombings in Boston, you know, what was going on. And it appears, you know, to to not just be a random act. It appears to be ideologically, maybe even religiously motivated. We're not sure yet, but it's important to not rush to judgment. But then when we're faced with truth, just say, this is the truth. And now when it comes to individuals, that's true as well. Think about it when compassion, there's a big anti-bullying movement, which is, I just think is awesome to finally deal with that in our society. And one of the posts they have, it says, the girl you call ugly, she spends hours putting on makeup, hoping people will just like her. The boy you tripped in the hall, he's already made fun of at home. The adult you laugh at because of the ugly scars, he fought for you and for his country. The boy you made fun of for crying, he's losing his mother to cancer. And the point of that is you don't know someone's story. And you might say, I feel that way. No one knows my story. God knows your story, but God wants to change your story as well. One of the opportunities that I've had is I get to teach. I moonlight a little bit, teaching some college or seminary classes. One of the classes that I've taught is in the area of spiritual formation, trying to teach Christian leaders how people grow spiritually. And in that, we do some life mapping. There was a guy named Robert Clinton who really came up with this in terms of the Christian field, how people grow, and we take little sticky notes, and we'll say, what are the great celebratory events? The birth of a child, wedding, et cetera, et cetera. What are the great accomplishments? What are the painful things? And they're all different colors. And what people will see as we put this out over a timeline on their life is that after a painful event, there's usually a change. And it's a change either where God uses that for good or we allow it to define us. And we turn for the worse. I said last week about your own sin or failure. It will change you. You get to choose how it changes you. Will it draw you towards Jesus? Will it draw you towards hope? Do you know that you don't have to be a prisoner of your past? Or will you say, I'm a failure? And that you let that one moment define you. And for maybe someone did something to you. Don't let that define you. God wants to show you a different way. See, secondly, I will not label others. Luke 6:36. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And that leads to number three, is I will extend grace. And this is where it gets difficult. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another if you have any grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then it says, again, and just I just want you to get this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ and God forgave you. And so there's a link between what we receive from God and what we experience in terms of restoration and letting go bitterness. And see, here's the deal. Here's what we think. And this is, I know because I've thought this too, is if they would just apologize and own it, if they would maybe make restitution, people who've cheated you out of money, and that would be good, and that would be better, but it won't make it better. Because for some of you, they can't give you your marriage back. They can't give you that season of your life back. They can't give you your innocence back. And the reality is we have to come to terms with there are some things that only God can do. We talk a lot about there are the principles of God which any person can apply and your life will get better. But there are some things that we need to allow God's power. And this is not weird stuff. This is if God is all powerful, that he can express that in my life. And he can do what I never thought I could even do on my own. And so the question is, as we've looked at my bad, now today we're looking at other people's bad against us. Are we going to let God, allow God to do that? Are we going to allow him to do that work? Well, a few just reflections. These aren't in your outline and difficult assignments. You must resist bitterness to honor Jesus. Because if we hold on to bitterness, and this is something, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about a couple situations in my own life, is you cannot honor Jesus Christ if you hold on to bitterness. But here's another reality, is not all relationships can be restored. Some of them shouldn't be restored. Some of them you can forgive at a distance. You really can. And it's not always easy, but it's always worth it. Whenever you say yes to Jesus, it is always worth it. Even if you've said no before, it is always worth it. And so what we're going to do as a symbol of that, as a symbol of the forgiveness we have through Jesus Christ, we're going to do something this weekend and something the next. This weekend, we're going to receive communion together. And communion is where we use these physical symbols to say we recognize what Jesus has done for us on the cross, his broken body and shed blood, that I would be forgiven. Next week, we're going to look at baptism. And if you have not been baptized, I hope you'll take that step as an adult. I mean, it is powerful. You might say, well, I was baptized as a baby. And that's great. That's about your parents' faith. But it says baptism is repentance of sins. And not many one-month-old repent of sins, do they? No. So you'd say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and take that step, because the more you say yes, you don't have to, you say, I can't say yes in every area today. Say yes in one area and see what God will do. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that as we come to you today, and as we deal with some things that maybe we would have rather honestly not dealt with, God, that you call us to a life that makes more sense. God, we know that. We know that bitterness can define us and destroy us in the process. God, I pray for our nation. I pray that you would protect innocence. God, I pray for every person affected by the attack, the many who are hurt in Boston. God, we pray for the family of that little 8-year-old boy, for the mom, for the police officer, for that student from China, and God, for their families. And if they don't know you, that they would be drawn to you. Because although you didn't author evil, you can take the worst sin, and that you can produce something good where we never thought it would be good. So God, we ask that for them. But God, we ask that for us as well. That we would not just pray for people thousands of miles away, but God, that we would invite you to do your work in us. And for some of us, God, it's just saying yes to you in the area of laying down bitterness, laying down our right to be offended. And God, even though it's our right, we don't hold to that right. We follow you and what you've done for us through the cross. For some of you today, you say, you know, Ben, I don't know if I know God the way that you talk about him. And if that's you, I would invite you to take that step of faith towards Jesus. That you would just talk to God. You'd say, I'm going to pray out loud, and you pray silently. You'd say something like this: Dear God, thank you that you love me. God, thank you that you love me just the way I am, and you love me so much that you don't want to leave me that way. And so I come to you and I ask for you to be the Lord and leader of my life, the forgiver of my sins. And God, I want to say yes to you. I choose today to be a Christ follower, to be a Christian. And the Bible says when we make that commitment to him, that his commitment to us is unwavering, that he'll never leave us or give up on us, even in our worst moments, that he'll show us a better way to live now and give us the strength to live it out, but that that we're also made to live with him for eternity. And that when we go from this life, that it's not to the great unknown, but it's to a place where God is there and there's no more weeping and no more tears. And where God in his perfection accepts us in our imperfection. Lord, I thank you for my friends who have taken that step of faith. I thank you that you call us towards you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.